Okay, let's take our Bibles this morning. John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. And I'll tell you up front, you're going to need to keep a Bible handy. We're going to be, it started out this morning with a cold building because our blower motor is gone, I guess. So I'm going to make sure you keep warm by working your fingers. No. See how that works out. John 1 and Hebrews 1. Okay, John chapter 1 first. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. If you'll notice verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let's pray. Now, Father, once again we come to You this morning, and we now are ready to preach. Lord, I pray You might take honor in what's to be said this morning. Father, may You fill in any gaps of our knowledge. Mainly, we'd like to exalt our Maker, our God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that You'll please help folks' minds to be flexible, Father, to get onto this, Lord, and do something with it as they hear it. May we be encouraged in our lives, and Father, may we plainly see the work of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've bitten off more than I can chew this morning. It's the first thing I have to say. I have to move kind of swiftly to get through all I have to say this morning, for one, but for two, the intention is to finish this message next Sunday morning, all right? So this is part one, and you'll see how this goes in a second. I want to focus on the two passages to start with, and several times, there are four distinct times it says that all things were made by Him. By God, things were made. We know that in time, we know that by Jesus Christ, they were made, but they were made well over 1,700 times in the Bible. Somebody making something comes up. And of course, a lot of the times the men were making something, but more often than not, it was God that made those things. And then over another 100 times, it says that God created. God created. Now look, little kids make stuff. Your kid turns 2 or 3 and starts drawing on construction paper and starts having some, a desire to draw pictures for mommy or pictures for daddy. I get stuff from kids and sometimes my granddaughters of, pictures for the preacher, and they're a blessing. And I say, honey, who's this? She said, that's you. Well, it looks like a donkey. What's the problem with this? Anyway, and so it's kind of rough at first, but they made it, and so that's so sweet. And boys, grow up making forts, and they start out as very simple affairs. And finally, by the time Daniel grew up to be a mid-teen, he had a relatively elaborate fort going out in the woods by our house. And so, in time, they start making things more elaborate and stuff. And one day you look up, and they're actually drawing pretty good, and they're whittling pretty good and stuff. If you want to see some neat stuff that men have made, you go and look at some of the Renaissance sculpture and art and stuff. Of course, with all those things, the paintings and the sculpture, people needed more clothes. But still, it's remarkable the detail and the music written back at those stages. The detail of that music, the detail of that art, that sort of thing. It's stunning. You say, wow, man, they made that. A guy actually with his hands carved or sculpted this thing. It's remarkable. And yet, None of those men and none of your kids really made anything. God made it, right? I'm going to talk about that for a little while this morning. I want to talk to you about the marvel of things made. This is part one here this morning. And I want to just magnify the making of some things, and then you'll see where this is going. First of all, point number one, please, consider all that the Maker made. Think about all the things that the Maker, by the Maker I mean God, all the things that He made. Now again, importantly, man never made anything. Now, he may have fashioned it. He may have taken something from the woods or taken something from the rock quarry or may have taken a paint and he may have fashioned something. He may have molded something. He may have even engineered something or constructed something. And what he came out with may have been with great ingenuity. It may have been with great imagination. He may have shown great giftedness in the formation of it. He may have shown resourcefulness, cunning and skill, but he didn't make anything. God made it. Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What God made in John 1 and Hebrews 1, he made from nothing. He made by the word of his power. He spoke things into existence. Now, I'll grant you that the Bible says the heavens are his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. I know He used His hands in some regard. The Bible says that the stars are the work of His fingers in Psalms chapter 8. But still He spoke them into existence. 10 times in Genesis chapter 1, God said. And so God said, let there be light. Now folks, light is a great mystery. Scientists still debate the attributes, the characteristics of light. And there for a long time, there was the particulate theory and the wave theory and all that. I'm still not sure they fully know what it is. They know some things about it, I'll grant you that. But they are now, by the way, the physics people are now doubting that light always travels at 186,000 miles per second. They now have doubts about that. There's now some writings coming out with that kind of stuff. But just imagine that with something as intricate and as little understood as we understand it, that God just said, let there be light, and the whole thing came forth as light with all the attributes, all the characteristics, things we don't even understand. Let there be light, and there was. Let there be a firmament, he says. That firmament turns out to be the cosmos. Out of just with words, here, let's make a cosmos. Let there be a cosmos. Let there be a firmament. And it was. It's a remarkable, remarkable thing. And so if you're real smart and you think that you know what you're doing, you're a great engineer, you try that on for size there, big shot. Because you have never created anything. God spoke those things into existence by His power. I'm going to turn to a couple places in the Bible here now, and again, please keep that handy. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. There are some things we can say about God making those things that are important to us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God spoke things into existence. And the framing behind it all that holds it all up, that allows it to operate, is the Word of God. It says He framed it by the Word of God. They were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen are not made of things that do appear. It says that in Hebrews chapter 1 that He upholds those things by the word of His power. It says that by Him those things consist. He didn't just create them. By Him those things consist. They hold together. The stars travel in their appointed rounds the way He says because He makes them do so. Those electrons travel around individual nucleuses of atoms because that's how He makes it happen. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He made it all. By Him all things consist. And from the most minuscule and most microscopic feat of engineering, I mean, think about the minutiae of what winds up being trillions of cells in your body. The Lord commands those cells in that minute situation to do all that they do. Think about nerve impulses and brain function and how the auditory nerve and the optic nerve take what you see and you hear, and when it comes out to you, you're listening to my voice. That's perceived by the brain. And you see me, and aren't you blessed for that? But you see me, and somehow you have a picture of me in your brain. You see me because of electrical impulses that travel from the eye down the optic nerve to the brain. You can't explain that in a million years. God made those things that way. From that minuscule situation to the vastness of the microcosm, the dances of the stars, the dances of the galaxies. And none of those things is a strain to Him. None of those things tests His capacity. There are hundreds of trillions of suns brighter than ours burning right now, and they get all their energy from God. And it's not a test of His limits. In the smallest minuscule thing you can imagine to the most massive thing you can imagine, none of those things is a strain, is a test the limits of God, because God made them. God made them. Best of all, we know from the Bible that God being the maker, that Jesus Christ was actually the creator, that God used Jesus Christ to create. Look in your Bibles in Ephesians 3 real fast. Ephesians chapter 3. Best of all, my maker was my Savior. My maker was Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3. And if you will, go down to verse 9. Ephesians 3, 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. We just read, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All things were made by that Word that was with God. There is no question who it is. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the agent of things made. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Let me get you back there for just a second. Hebrews 1, 3. And while you're turning, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Hebrews 1, 3. Speaking of Christ in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. Christ is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, sitting down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Christ was the agent of creation. Look in Colossians chapter 1 real fast. I know I'm hitting you with a lot of Bible this morning, but that's all right. Colossians chapter 1, and starting in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The blood is gone from the new Bibles, by the way. Verse 15, who, Christ, now, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, by Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. By Christ, in the midst of all that He has to do, He holds every atom together. Those electrons go around that nucleus of those cells millions of times per second, say the scientists. That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of movement in a very small space. How could those things possibly stay together? They consist by something. They consist by your Maker, Jesus Christ. Now listen, the Maker's crowning achievement was man, right? I mean, he was made in the image of God originally, made a little lower than the angels originally, made for fellowship with God. And then early on, in fact, Genesis chapter 3, hardly into the book yet, man fell. And he fell early, and he fell hard. And when he fell, he became dead in sins, damned and cursed. And men born after the image of Adam are born children of the devil. They lost the image of God. No longer fit for fellowship with God, but rather fit for wrath. Amen? Man still views himself as the capstone of creation. And if he doesn't believe in creation, he still considers himself the capstone of evolution. But man, in fact, has come to consider himself to be God. But he's not God. He is barely a shadow of what God originally made him. He's small, and he's weak, and he's vain, and he's dead in sins, and he's vile, and he's corrupt, and he's polluted, and he's blind. And he's born a natural, pompous fool. And I leave that there. I leave that with you considering what the Maker made. And now I want to move on to point number two. And there is no point number three, but there's lots of subpoints. So just hang in there. I want to move to for you to consider what the Maker was made. We consider what the Maker made. Now I want you to consider the unusual thing that the Bible points out of what the Maker was made. Now, folks, by Maker, I mean the Creator, right? I mean God. Makers make. Makers aren't made anything. And so it is that your Savior holds a unique place among the gods of this world. Because your God, your Creator, your Maker that made everything. And by the way, while He made everything, He upholds all things by the word of His power. He allowed Himself to be made something. Now, what would be the motive for that? Think about that. What would be the motive for God, the Maker, allowing Himself to be made something less than He was? And I'll answer that question later. I'd like to just point out some things that He was made. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. Once again, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'll tell you something that your Maker was made. He made it all. And then He was made several things. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Now that Word comes from the first verse. In the beginning was the Word. That Word was God. That Word was Jesus Christ. Well, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, it says there. But that Word was made. And notice the word made. It was made flesh. Now look, by nature, God is not flesh. By nature, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. By nature, naturally the way God is a spirit. But He was made flesh. Your God allowed Himself to be made flesh. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, that He was made after the seed of David. That He was made of a woman born under the law. And so it is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that God was manifest in the flesh. And it's not just that, but look in Philippians chapter 2. And I know you're busy with turning the Bible this morning, but just hang in there for a little while. Philippians chapter 2. Maybe you're used to going to a church with no Bible at all. Well, you better come to this church with a Bible, because you're going to be turning in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, and notice something else it says, that Christ allowed himself to be made along this line. He was made flesh. He was made a man. He was made like you and me when he was not like you and me. He was our maker. Why would the maker allow himself to be made like me? Well, chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was, rather, also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Not just made in the likeness of men, but, I mean, he wasn't made to look overly handsome or kingly or anything. He was made just like us. Took upon himself the form of a servant, but he was made. Look, the infinite became temporarily finite. It's amazing. God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. And he allows himself to be made finite here for a little while. The invisible becomes not only visible, but he becomes tangible. And if you'd walked with him in those days, you maybe could have reached out and touched his foot or his hand or his arm, and you could have felt the Maker. He temporarily became tangible. The immortal became mortal. He was made able to die, and able to cry, and able to suffer, and able to bleed. Why? Why in the world would the Maker come and do that? The omnipresent came to live in what was then the present. And man saw, veiled in flesh, what would have killed him if he had seen the very essence of what was in that flesh. Because the Maker was made flesh. I can tell you something else the Maker was made. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Not only did the Maker make, but the Maker was made. He was made flesh. He came down here to be like us for a while. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, now the context there is God, for he, God, hath made him, now that's Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that he made him to be sin for us. He was made to be sin. Now, he wasn't just made sinful because Christ wasn't sinful. He wasn't just made sinful, he was made to be sin. There's a difference. He wasn't just made to bear sin, and he did bear sin, but he was made to be sin. It's not just that he was made to pay the price for sin and to bear its burden. He was made sin. He was made to be sin. He became sin personified. And I guess the closest you can get to that is the devil. But he was made to be sin. He became sin personified. He was made something that he was not. What he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And what he allowed himself to be made temporarily was unholy and vile and abominable and sin itself. He who didn't even know sin was made to be sin. You know, I had an experience a few years back. Eric's brother got bit by that dog, Jay, and within a couple of days, he had a massive, humongous infection. He was diabetic, so that didn't help. And so he got in really bad shape real fast. And so I went to see him at the hospital. And honestly, folks, you know, I didn't go to war, so I haven't seen disemboweled bodies laying around after an artillery barrage or anything like that. Honestly, that was the worst thing I've ever seen. I went in there, and Jay was laying in that bed, and it looked like he had been charred from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His ears were black. Looked like you could reach over and just peel them off like charcoal. And his nose was as black as charcoal. His features were black as charcoal. And I couldn't help but stand there and say, I'm glad that's not me. And to think of me laying in that bed in that state, it brings tears to my eyes. And yet, your Savior was made to be far worse than that. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was made to be sin. I'll tell you something else. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Your Maker made some things. He made it all. And then your Maker was made some things. Galatians chapter 3, go down to verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He was made a curse. Now, to give you a contrast, just turn a few more books to the right. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And notice how it describes Christ here. Where it starts in verse 14. Paul, writing to Timothy, says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now read this. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. I mean, he's going to show who is that blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's what Jesus Christ is going to be. But on that day at Calvary, he was made a curse. He was made sin. And he was made accursed. He was made damned. He was made to be abominable. And then the question comes back again, why? Because he loved you. Because he made you. And when you fell in Adam, you fell hard. And you fell far. So far, you could never, ever recover yourself. And so God commendeth his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was made a curse. Why? Because he loved you and because he wanted reconciliation with you. And what that means in effect is that you can die and suffer for yourself for eternity if you choose to. Or you can rely on him to have suffered for you. That's what it boils down to. For somebody who cannot receive the promise that Christ died, that he'll give you eternal life if you believe. For it's wicked not to take Jesus Christ up on that. And I'll tell you how wicked it is. You dismiss and reject what he did. Do you realize who he was? And who he is. But do you realize what he did? Do you realize that he made everything? Then do you realize what he became for you? And then you say, that's not good enough for me. My religion will do for me. My pitiful little vile good works will do good for me. I'll give up a Snicker bar for Lent. That should kick me over the top. That's brownie points for sure. You don't care what he became. You don't care how far he came. You don't care the price of what it cost him to become something that he wasn't, to come and save you. You don't care that it was for you. You're bound and determined. You can take care of it yourself. You're bound and determined. That just can't be true. You're bound and determined. Your religion's got it covered. No, man. He was made to be sin. He was made a curse for you. I can show you something else. Now, all those things that I've just mentioned are things, he was made what you are, what you were. These next things are, he's made what you need. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you can just sigh with relief because there's four of them in one verse, and so you don't have to turn any verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Maker made everything. Then he was made some things. He was made some things because that's what you were. It's what you are. And then he was made what you need. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Talking to somebody that's saved. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is made. He is made, not was made. He is made unto me wisdom. Now, stop and ask yourself first, what does that say about you and me? If he had to be made wisdom for me to be wise, how good was my natural wisdom? Not very. Not very at all. In fact, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The Bible says that man's wisdom only made us more abominable. And as man progresses, in quotation marks, progresses further and further, he only gets more abominable as he goes. And it says in the latter days, men shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. You're not getting better. You're going the other direction. Evolution doesn't work. Devolution does. And so Jesus Christ is made, present tense, is made wisdom. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You sure you want to stick to your own? He's made wisdom for you. I can tell you something else he's made there in verse 30. He's made righteousness. Now, what does that say about your righteousness? What does that say about anything that you can do? After 4,000 years of watching a bunch of men, some of them didn't do the best they could do, but there was always a proportion of men that did the very best they could do. Who doubts that Abraham did the very best he could do? Who doubts that David and Job did the very best they could do? And yet that wasn't good enough. And so in one fell swoop, in dying and rising from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ allowed himself to be made righteousness for us. Because you were helpless. The best you can do counts for less than nothing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All Adam and Eve had to do was keep one rule. And at that, they were sinless. At that, they were perfect. They had no clothes to wash, no dishes to wash. She lived with a perfect man. He lived with a perfect woman. They had one rule to keep, and they couldn't keep the rule. And so they fell. And he is made righteousness for us. Because nothing you can do is ever good enough. And it never will be. You can't make or create your own. He has made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. I was at the motel the other night in Pensacola and flipped on the TV for a second. National Geographic Channel or just Traveler Channel or something. And it showed this Hindu guy at this big Hindu festival. I'm not sure what that was, but this guy, for his sanctification before his gods. There are 325 million Hindu gods. For his lifetime, I'm not sure for how long, he had sat and walked and stood and slept with one arm raised. He has never had a day or a night or a nap when he didn't have his arm raised. You can see his bony old shoulders. His arm has gone to nothing. There's no muscle in his arm at all. The only muscle he has is this muscle along the top of his shoulder where he keeps his arm raised. And his hand is shriveled, and now he's grown nails. And these nails come out and are about 6 inches long and do this little twisty thing. So he's just holding this hand up on this gnarly old skeletal arm with these nasty gnarly nails, with this closed up hand that he can do nothing with. And that's his sanctification before his God. And there are so many stories like that, it's not even funny. There was an entire class of monastic monks back in the medieval times that lived in caves and sat on poles. Some of those guys sat on a 3x3 platform 25 feet in the air for 30 years of their lives. They did everything up there. They slept, excuse me, they ate, and then all the other bodily functions that you do on top of that pole. And they lived on top of the pole and they died on top of the pole. That was their sanctification before their God. Man, I got something better. I got somebody that became my sanctification, because nothing I can do is ever enough. He's made unto us sanctification. Set me apart, made me holy by his action, not mine. And lastly, it says there, he's made unto us redemption. All through the Old Testament, sins were forgiven, but they weren't redeemed. They were put on a credit card, and nobody had paid the price on the credit card. One day Christ came to this world and died on a cross for sinners like me and you, rose from the dead, and then paid the price in blood, so that my sins are not just forgiven and they're not just redeemed, they're paid for. By that I mean, look, they're gone. When you pay off a car, you can do anything you want to with that car. You can go run it off a cliff, and you're good because the car was yours. I just want to say, he has made redemption for me. The maker who made everything was made some things. And he wasn't made for some things for the dogs and the cats and the animals. He was made something for you. God commendeth his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He became the things that you could never be, so he could deliver you fellowship with God once again. Not just a home in heaven, but the capacity to fellowship with God again. I have two other verses for you to turn to. I'll hit them very quickly, and then you can go home. All right, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, Christ, the Maker, was made some things. And I have another point next week. It'll take the whole sermon, so I'm going to let you go for now. But in Acts chapter 2, notice verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Man, he is made both Lord and Christ. He is my Lord Jesus Christ. He is mine. I am his and he is mine. He is my Savior. We have a personal relationship before God. Do you know him? You got a religion? Do you have a manner of moral living, or do you have a relationship with God through Christ? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And he is, right? But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now that's building phraseology for stonemasons. But those builders were the experts. They were experts in stones. They knew how to build stuff. And when they came to Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, they disallowed him. They said, this is not allowed. This is not the right kind of stone. And they rejected that stone. And they were the experts. And God overruled them. Because that stone came and died for our sins, rose from the dead, did something impossible, something nobody else did ever do and could never do. And he is made the head of the corner. He became the center post of everything. He became what every elevation is shot off of. He became the chief foundation stone after the builders rejected him. You need not look for an expert. You need to look to the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. That's what he's been made. He's the maker. He made everything. He was made of several things. And then next week we're going to see what he made us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray this morning that